Boeing grounds its 777 planes after an engine failure. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathma in for Victoria Craig. Good morning, great to have you with us. Boeing has told airlines around the world to pull over 100 of its 777 planes after an engine failure near Denver at the weekend. United Airlines plane was heading to Honolulu when debris fell off the plane. It prompted aviation regulators in Japan to advise against flying the models which have this engine. These events are rare, but yet another blow reputationally to Boeing and the makers of the engine, Pratt & Whitney, as the BBC's Theo Leggett explains.
It's pretty clear that a large portion of the engine cowling fell off. Part of it landed on a truck in a man's yard, and other bits were scattered over the area. And what seems to have occurred, according to the National Transportation Safety Board, it's early stages, of course, but they've confirmed that two of the fan blades of the engine were fractured, one fractured near the root, and that may have been what triggered the sequence of events here. Engines are designed, normally, so that these materials that are flying around are contained. But in this case, that didn't happen, and investigators will want to know why.
Thankfully, nobody was hurt on this journey. But what does this mean for Boeing? Is this a big deal?
Well, let's not forget that Boeing did not manufacture this engine. It was made by Pratt & Whitney, which is an engine company currently owned by the defence and aerospace giant Raytheon. But nevertheless, it is another high-profile safety incident involving a Boeing aircraft. So inevitably, that will be bad publicity for Boeing. Boeing's had to recommend that all 777s with this kind of engine are grounded. Now, that actually means 128 aircraft, 62 of them in Japan, the rest in Korea and the United States. And around half of those are not currently flying because of the state of the aviation market. It doesn't concern a huge number of aircraft, but because of the kind of videos that we've been seeing on social media of this engine burning, it's not good for Boeing. And of course, it's not good for Pratt & Whitney, because this is an engine design that has suffered issues before. There's an issue back in 2018, for example, with a very similar looking failure. We don't know if it had the same cause. There's this issue about, is it a repeat of something that's happened before? If it is, and we don't know that, why has it happened again? All of these questions.
The BBC's Theo Leggett, thank you very much.
A pleasure.
In Europe, markets are flat ahead of announcements about the easing of restrictions. Elsewhere, Bitcoin, after reaching new highs of $57,000 at the weekend, has dropped 5% this morning. Hundreds of thousands of people have filled the streets in cities and towns across Myanmar in the country's largest protest since the military seized power almost 3 weeks ago. Businesses mostly closed for the day in response to a call for a general strike to protest against the coup. Images on social media show police using water cannon to disperse protesters in the capital. The BBC's Jonathan Head reports now from neighbouring Thailand.
Today's strike has been called by a new administrative organisation calling itself the General Strike Committee. But it's not clear that that strike committee is actually organising everything. Most of the organisation is local. It's done either through community leaders, through professions, through other informal groups, lots of student activists. It is remarkable, really. I mean, it's a lot more organised than when it started. And it's been very, very peaceful as well. We'll have to see how long they can keep it going, though. This is a long game. When you have a general strike like this, people are not getting any income. The banks aren't functioning anyway. They can't get cash. And there are no supplies being sold.
Jonathan Head reporting there. International efforts to stop the desertification in northern Africa are focused on what activists call a Great Green Wall stretching across the continent. It's hoped that this belt of trees and regenerated farmland will help fragile communities become sustainable again. The BBC's Fergus Nicol has that story.
From Senegal's Atlantic coast in the west, the Great Green Wall stretches across Africa, just below the enormous Sahara Desert, to Djibouti on the Gulf of Aden. Here's the problem it's trying to address, set out by Nigeria's Environment Minister, Mohamed Mahmoud Abubakar.
You are talking about desertification, which is causing a lot of land degradation, which is displacing people, which is causing hunger, unemployment, food insecurity. So it's really very, very important.
Desertification, or the permanent loss of what was once good farmland, is estimated by the UN to cost nearly $500 billion a year. And the pace of land degradation is accelerating by up to 35 times the historical rate. The solution? Make trees part of community farming. One of the organisations involved in Senegal's hugely successful planting campaign is the US-based Trees for the Future.
Last year, we planted more than 5 million trees in Senegal.
Sherif Djite is their director of operations, and he says it's all about their forest garden approach. Here's the pitch.
After 6 months, they are getting some vegetable from this garden, but also they are gaining money because the surplus of this vegetable production are going into the market. Most of them are be able now to support the school of the kids, to support their health. They are also greening the area because they are planting trees.
That hybrid approach, making crop farmers effectively tree farmers too, is increasingly being encouraged. And some specialists like Dr. Dennis Garrity of the World Resources Institute believe that more must be done to tackle the causes of desertification, especially unsustainable farming techniques and cutting down trees for fuel.
What you really need to do is to attack the basic causes of land degradation in all of the Sahelian countries, and not just at the edge of the Sahara, but the land degradation processes that were going on throughout the countries of the Sahel.
Only then, says Dr. Garrity, and he isn't alone in this view, will the project deliver on its promise. Progress has been disappointing so far, and much more will need to be done if the Great Green Wall is to be more than just a mirage. I'm the BBC's Fergus Nicol for Marketplace.
And in London, I'm Vishala Sripathma with a Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.